It's time to feel better with help from Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Allergies, nutrition, ultimate wellness, all discussed right here, right now. It's Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Here's your host, Dr. Suzanne.
Functional gastrointestinal disorders are characterized by persistent and reoccurring symptoms such as heartburn, cramping, nausea, gas and bloating, constipation, and diarrhea. Now, these are often aggravated by emotional, mental, and psychological stress. Now, functional gastrointestinal disorders affect millions of people all ages, men, women, and children. And I hope our next guest, Dr. Emeryn Meyer, can give us more insight on the connection between our daily stresses and the gut. He's the professor of medicine and executive director of the UCLA Center for Neurobiology of Stress and the best-selling author of The Mind-Gut Connection, How the Hidden Conversation Within Our Bodies Impact Our Mood, Our Choices, and Our Overall Health. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Wellness for Life, Dr. Meyer.
How does stress affect the gut?
Thank you. How does stress affect the gut microbiome?
So we've known for a long time that the brain, through the stress response, can affect the contractions, secretions, the blood flow, the transit through our gastrointestinal system. And we've always thought that that's really the main, is the main factor in aggravating symptoms in patients with functional bowel disorders. We now know, and this is really exciting, that the brain can also send signals directly to the microbes in our gut. So not only is the environment of the microbes changing because of these changes that I just mentioned, but also there's direct communication channels. When you're stressed, you release the stress mediator norepinephrine, which makes your heart run faster, which changes all the gut functions. But these norepinephrine molecules also leak into the gut lumen, to the inside of the gut, and act on receptors on certain microbes. And that changes what we call the gene expression pattern of these microbes and basically their function. Some of them become more aggressive and then can really talk back to us, to the lining of the gut and have a profound effect on our gut function and possibly also back to the brain. So that's just one example that's particularly been well studied. But keep in mind, next time you're stressed, angry, anxious, the microbes know about this because they get multiple signals from the brain and they change their behavior and that will affect you. For example, if you eat something when you're stressed, that food will be processed very differently than if you're relaxed. Same thing about if you're angry, food will be processed differently than if you're happy and don't have anything to worry about. So this is a really profound insight that links us, our most important organ, the brain, to these microorganisms, and they use the same language to communicate with each other.
Wow, that's so fascinating. I love the fact that you're describing it where the behavior of us, as our human mind, the way we behave is actually partly due to our bacteria in our gut, which then, of course, my brain is like, okay, how can we enhance the microbiome to the ability where we're going to feel more happier, more relaxed, less anxiety, more motivated and excited, all the good stuff that we want to have and lead towards happiness. What can we do to enhance that and obviously work on our gut?
Well, I mean, there's different ways of doing this. What I just mentioned, these very powerful signals that go from the brain to the gut and its microbes, we clearly can influence this through, strategies like mindfulness-based stress reduction, various relaxation techniques, abdominal breathing. So there's a lot of techniques we can change that signal that affects our gut health and the microbial behaviors. The second one is what we feed our existing microbes. So what we call prebiotics. So basically in food, there's a large component of prebiotics. These are usually things that we don't absorb or break down ourselves in our small intestine. So they get transferred undigested into the colon, to the large intestine. And there they become the main food for the bacteria, and the bacteria produce things like, and they produce thousands of signaling molecules, but an important one are these short-chain fatty acids that have a health benefit both on the gut, on the lining of the gut, the health of the gut, the on the permeability, so the gut becomes less leaky, in our metabolism, our the preventive for metabolic syndrome and obesity. The third thing that we can do is we can try to change the microbial makeup, so not their function by feeding them something different, but also by directly influencing their numbers and their composition. And that is the area of probiotics, where we ingest live microbial organisms that, they only stay in the gut as long as we ingest them. So after 2 days, after eating a probiotic, yogurt, for example, they will be gone. So you have to, if you take one of those strategies, you have to keep doing it. And there's clearly a demonstrated health benefit, both at the gut level, but also in the overall well-being, and on mild symptoms of these functional bowel disorders. So three things. Think about your mind, your state of mind, your emotions. Think about what you feed them, so the nutrition. And thirdly, think about potentially influencing. And that's particularly promising if you start out with a compromised state of your gut microbiota, what we call a dysbiotic state. And the common one has been identified as if the diversity and the abundance of microorganisms is decreased. So that's a situation where you might benefit the most from taking a probiotic.
You know, I saw research, and I can't even tell you, I wish I could quote it now, but it was about, just in the recently, this one research where it actually identified the different kinds of bacteria in our gut that just within even days of changing from eating poorly, the bad stuff, the sugars, the alcohol, the dairy and the grain and all that, and if you switch it over to a really healthy diet, more Mediterranean, more vegetables, more plant-based, that the bacteria, the different kinds of bacteria switches like almost instantly, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yes. I mean, there's, it's a long story, and I discussed this sort of in detail in my book. Clearly by changing, and this has been done both in humans and in animals, by changing from a very unhealthy, something that most people would ever eat, so a very high animal fat-containing diet, to a vegetarian, very high plant-based component diet, that you will, within 24 hours, you will change both the microbiota composition and also the metabolites, the signals they produce. If you do this on a more long-term basis, it's less clear right now if these changes persist or if somehow your microbes adapt to this. But there's no question in my mind that adhering to, and there's a lot of information, as you know, conflicting information in the literature about what's good for us and, for weight control. So there's people that recommend high-fat diets. There's people that say you have to eliminate all gluten. You have to eliminate refined sugars. I think what the gut microbial science is teaching us that there are certain rules, and if we stick to them, and those rules are basically feed your microbes well, become a educated farmer of your microbes, and that includes what I meant to discuss extensively in my book, something like the Mediterranean diet, high in plant-based components, low in animal fat, moderate amount of protein.
Well, thank you so much. You can get the book, The Mind-Gut Connection, on Amazon. You can also go to Emeryn Mayer, MAYER.com. Thank you so much. I put a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. And this is Dr. Suzanne Bennett sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.